Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you in here from the historic Clay County Courthouse, the grand old lady of Clay County that's been around with us here for over 150 years, not with us necessarily, but with the community here. And over the years, she's withstood a number of things, and right now she's in the process of getting a little updating on a few things. We're getting a few of our windows restored. It's going to be a slow process, looks like, but we're going to make a little progress, but it's great to be here, and it's great to have this place to work from. It's great to have our little radio station set up here on WVFB-FM 101.5, Kings Country, and I think we still got our transmitter out around Midway, along with all the other big settlements out around Midway now with our Dale Hutter getaway out there. I think we've got quite a few folks getting away out there to spend a couple of days in the woods. And hopefully they can stay away from all the copperheads that are moving around this summer. Hadn't heard of anybody getting snake bit out there yet, but got quite a few things going on here in the county, kind of quietly. We've got lots of folks coming through town, I think more than normal, with pulling boats and campers and things like that. It looks like our tourist traffic is up quite a bit so far. I don't know where I think we've been doing some official counting of things. Might have something to do with our work on the truck route that's hopefully coming up here before long. And we got a little bit of news, a little finalization on I guess it was a site preparation grant for our place where to build buildings to induce folks in. But ex-Mayor Tanya Spears is with me this morning, and we're going to be talking about a bunch of things, not just in the city of Salina, but over the years, the couple of years here, Tanya's really come along from a nervous young lady who was scared to talk into the microphone to one that kind of enjoys herself, I think, a little bit here. And we'll have a little bit of a conversation with her. We'll be giving away a birthday anniversary cake about halfway. We'll announce them about halfway through the show. Then toward the end, we'll give one of those away again. I don't know of anything big going on right now. I do know we're going to keep reminding folks that our car show's coming up in the, I guess, newly in the process of being renovated and some things done up there. And we'll be talking about that a little bit here. And that is Donaldson Park coming up September the 25th. And I know that Ms. Mary Lloyd Reno is having her, the museum festival this year, one-day event here, the first weekend in August. And also, we always have a little car show with that out at the old Salina High School. But with that, I guess we'll take a little short break and work in a few words from our sponsors, those great folks that helped make this possible, along with the three-star committee, the Chamber of Commerce, hopefully we've got quite a few people listening in this morning, so just relax and get ready for an interesting while of conversation about the city of Salina and things going on around here. We'll be right back in a few minutes.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, we're coming to you as we do here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, and we'll remind everyone that there is a broadcast of today's show at 6 p.m. here on WVFB, and also these shows pretty soon after we get through with them, they do get streamed on the Dell Hall Horizon site. And there's a whole bunch of them there. And I'm sure they're dated. I'm probably not labeled with who my guest was or anything. But we have all those chances for you to listen to our show. And with that, I guess, good morning, Tanya.
Well, good morning.
And how are you this morning?
I'm very well.
Very well.
Yes.
And I said it's a new day for you.
It is.
Okay, now, you know, kind of strange. You know, I remember once upon a time we had a president that something happened to him. The vice president took over, and at the first meeting he had, this is way back in history sometime or other, they announced him as the president accidentally. And that's kind of how you came in as mayor.
Yes.
The politics. Mm. Never been involved in anything like that before your the little thing here in Salina.
No.
You ran for the city council.
Yes, I did.
You want to talk about, you know, but just, you know, leading up to you becoming mayor and things like that for a few minutes.
Okay. I was one of those folks, you know, I would get the paper and I would read, you know, and I would read about the council meetings, and what I would do, I'd say, well, I wonder why they did that, you know. And then one day I realized, I thought, well, if you want to know, you're going to have to be more involved. So I thought that I would like to run for a position one day, and I thought, well, you know, what about aldermen? I would come into work every day, and I'd ask, you know, who's running? And a co-worker said, well, why don't you? So I thought, well, I'll do that. And, you know, the timing was right and got the high vote. But ultimately what piqued my interest was, you know, I had questions. And I thought, well, in order to know what's going on, be involved and sort of what happened is when I got the high vote, which put me at the vice mayor position, per charter, if something happens to the mayor, they resign or whatever, then the vice mayor steps into the position.
Okay, now let's back up a little bit farther than that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you as a high school student. I don't think I ever had you in class. I know you were, I wouldn't call you a boisterous, fun-loving, outward-going.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, I guess you were an opposite personality to your sister, maybe,
yes,
at that time.
I believe so.
And, you know, through the years, your history through the years, you know, I think maybe you have worked at numerous places that were kind of governmental agencies and things like that. You want to tell us a little bit about leading up to you then?
All right. I have worked most of my career has been with the Upper Cumberland Human Resource Agency. And I have worked with them probably since about 95, 96. And before that, I was, I'd worked with a vending company when I lived in Indiana, worked up there. But I guess one of the reasons that I've been drawn to, like UCHRA and what they do, is my mother was a van driver for them when I was just, you know, a teenager. So I've always sort of been connected with that and the services that they do and about helping people. That's just sort of where I've been.
Okay, and for those not familiar with the Upper Cumberland Development District, they are kind of the, I guess, the clearinghouse for a lot of things. And they provide lots and lots of services for the folks here, well, in the city of Salina and Clay County. And I know that your position there was, I'm sure you probably started out more of a clerk than anything else. Probably.
I think when it started out, it was called Outreach and Recruitment Clerk. Answered the phone, provided services, and, you know, we were all in a little small office, but it was a lot of good things.
Well, I know for a number of months out of the year that that I worked out of the central office over there and got to meet most of the folks over there. Mm-hmm. And at I guess at one point in time, most of the grants and things that came through to Salina and Clay County were actually administrated by the folks over at UCHRA. Mm-hmm. And I think now it's a combination thing now. Years and years and years, we had like a two-headed snake over there.
Right.
There were two heads to mm-hmm. how the grants and things. That was the Development District and the UCHRA.
Right.
But I think they're kind of combined now, I believe, aren't they, mm-hmm. Tanya?
Yes, sir. Mr. Mark Farley is he's over both of those agencies now. So they're a little more combined and more, I guess, cohesive.
Okay, now a little bit later on, we're going to get to the importance of those folks to the city of Salina and to the mayor. But let's get back to your beginning of the mayorship, or your city council, your alderman day, excuse me,
yes.
Alderperson.
Yes. well, you know, going into that, I remember my first meeting. It was a little intimidating, but went in and tried to understand the process, what I was there for, what my duties were as alderman, you know, what I could do, what I couldn't do, and, you know, and pretty much it's your aldermen are there for policy and money, to watch, budget, there's a lot to it. It's, you may go in thinking it's one thing, but you'll leave knowing it's another.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now, kind of the setup down there, you were talking about budgeting. The city has a budgeting officer, I'm sure, or do they?
Well, previously, the aldermen, they would take, I guess they were more involved in the budget process. But the time that I was there mostly was done in-house, and there could have been more participation, and there probably will be now. But you know, we would go off our old budget, and then we would look at our actuals, and pretty much, and of course, your council has to pass the budget. They have a copy of the budget. They look at it. And, of course, the guys who were there before had been there a very long time, and, one of them being a previous mayor, you know, they could look at the budget, and they were pretty, familiar with it, and so that helped.
Okay, now, the powers, getting a little bit different, the powers of the mayor, I mean, is the mayor of the city of Salina, is he as powerful as, say, the director of schools, where, I mean, he is the ultimate voice in basically everything except policy, I think, with school boards now. Do the aldermen have more of a voice in, budgeting, the direction that the city takes on things, or is that an ultimate decision that with the conferring with the aldermen, the mayor makes himself, him or herself?
Pretty much, you know, your council determines, you know, what you do. I mean, you have to run everything in front of them.
Okay,
you have to vote on.
Okay, that is the hiring or whatever, the personnel.
Well, actually, the mayor has, per the charter, has the power to hire, fire, promote, et cetera.
So that is a lone power of the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that's I think that's kind of the way most offices are anymore. You know, at one time, some of the so-called minor elected officials had a lot more voice other than guidance and direction. And, of course, sometimes guidance and direction is more of order and disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a little short break, Tanya. We'll come back. We're going to delve a little bit further into the mayorship a little bit, and then we're going to talk about some of the things that have been accomplished here during this not real conducive period of time.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back in a minute.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Tanya Spears is here with me this morning. Like I said, Tanya was in high school while I was teaching. I can remember her, but like I said, she avoided my history class somewhere or other. Don't know how she managed to do that, because for a number of years I was the only one, but sometimes there was somebody else that got in there. And like I said, her older sister, I thought quite a bit of her. She was in our programs and things. She and Myra Young, I think, were big buddies back in high school days. But Tanya came in, and I think with the circumstances that she's had, did a tremendous job with the mayorship here in Salina. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the beginning of your mayorship. I mean, what you inherited? Because it wasn't your administration, it was what halfway done by the time you got it, and
yes.
Many precedents had already been set.
Right.
A number of employees had been hired, and
mm-hmm. Yes, Mayor Rich, he was in his second year in his decision to step away from the position, and I didn't have any idea, which, you know. He came over and told me his intention, and that was about 1 o'clock that day, and there was a meeting that night, plus, they swore me in at 1, I held my first meeting at 5, and the funny thing about it, I couldn't tell you anything about it, because it was it was just like a wave had been crashing down on me, but, you know, I knew that was my responsibility. You know, when I ran for alderman, the position of vice mayor, I knew what that meant. And so I knew that I needed to step up into that and really
get it. Well, had you ever conducted a city council meeting prior to that?
No. And I'm still not good at it, you know, but that's just this part of it, you know.
Okay, now, what was it like at that first meeting?
Well, you know, I was very overwhelmed, to say the least, but there was quite a few people there, and I just, like I said, you know, I don't remember a lot about it, because it was just like really, really, you know, you wake up one morning and you go to work at your regular job, and at night you're holding your first meeting as mayor. You know, that's a big switch right there.
You know, and looking there, public participation in the city council meetings, do you have very many citizens on a regular basis that actually attend the meetings? Yeah, I know I haven't been to one in years because I don't live in the city, right. But there have had occasion to be at some of them.
Mm-hmm. No, really there's not. And I'll say what happens a lot of times, people will come to the meeting when they have an issue or a problem. The time really, you know, that could be worked out outside of a business meeting. And it should be.
Right.
But yes, people need to come and they need to participate and see what's going on and ask questions and be involved because that's what we need. We need more involvement.
You know, so many people, I guess, don't understand, you know, the rules of meetings is that really the only thing that you can discuss at any type of public meeting that way of an elected official meeting is what's on the agenda. And I mean, you just can't come in and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you about this. And, of course, they can. I guess you have to recess the meeting, I guess, or after the meeting is over. You know, I'm sure you've had a couple of those.
Usually there's a section, other discussion. We would have people that if they were there and we knew they wanted to discuss something or mention
But they let you know beforehand that they're going?
Yes, and you know, usually if there's a crowd, it's like, you know, state your name, you know,
right.
and you have 3 minutes. But, you know, if it's an issue that would need to be voted on or whatever,
No business can be conducted on the fly.
Right.
So that thing gets taken care of fairly quick. Mm-hmm. How many people have come by bragging on what the city council and the city of Slime has done?
Well, you have one or two here, you know, ever so often. You'll get some praise.
You know, and it makes you feel much, much better, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay. I guess let's spend a few minutes, and before we get into some of the good things, what are some of the things that just kind of smacked you right in the face, Tanya, when you came in there that were major problems that had to be solved?
Okay. Yeah, the first thing, there was a knock at the door, so to speak, and it was the state folks about our water, and so, well, our sewer, actually. It was our sewer plant. And, you know, I had to sign for the big envelope, and they set me down and just told me what I had in front of me, which was our sewer issues. You know, there's at each pumping station for the sewer, of course, it's a gravity fed for the whole city, but
right.
We have where areas we have to have pumps to pump that on out. And each one has like 2 pumps. Per station, and those things aren't cheap. And we need pumps. We have overflow issues, which everything is, it's on the right track. You know, we're doing good. But that, you know, to have them set you down and tell you this, and you're brand new to it all, it's a lot to take in.
And they probably threw a number at you.
Mm. Yeah, large numbers.
A great big number.
And
but
very expensive.
And you know, I guess, you know, there's so many things that are, I know that without really any other choice, that there was a moratorium placed upon new access to the sewer system here in the city. But that doesn't include just the city, does it? Or does it just the city?
Yes, because that's the only area we have sewer is within the city limits.
Okay, now you know where I'm going with that, and that is the new jail.
Mm-hmm.
Would that have to be connected to the sewer system, or would they have to build their own system?
Well, we do have, previously there's sewer there that runs along the river and comes over to the plant, and that was, of course, in place for the industrial park when it was down there. And yes, the moratorium will affect that, but when we've already got out for and been bidded and had a bid opening for the headworks of the plant, and when that stage is complete, then we come up to the next overflow point. We could ask the state, you know, can we proceed and can, you know, we'll ask permission to be able to hook that on. And we actually did it's a self-imposed moratorium.
Right.
Because we did that because we didn't want the state to do it.
Because then they are in charge.
Right. At this point, you know, what we'll go back and we'll ask permission, you know, can we release this area? Can we, you know, can we put someone like this area on the system?
Okay, now let me ask you this question. You know, that line is running all the way down to the former Oshkosh plant.
Mm-hmm.
What if someone wanted to put a little timeshare place down there with 150 units in it and wanted sewer?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that in the future that could be possible, or even a subdivision that could tie onto that also?
Well, I would think so, but
you're just saying that the potential.
Yes, I'm sure the potential.
Potential would be there for sewer access for folks from Oshkosh back to the city for potential building projects or whatever, which is a big deal, isn't
it?
Especially on land here in Clay County, because there's so much land being sold that that there is a question about the perking of that land. So that would be a very, very great project for the county. Well, I mean, be great for the entire county.
Yeah, for the county. I would wish that there was more property inside the city that was available to be built and get some, get more structures inside the city.
Well, let me add along that line. You know, we, new home building permits, have any been issued since you've been in mayor's office?
There's been a few. There's been a few, not very many.
You know, I'm trying to think of, you know, new building within within the city limits. You know, it's been kind of sparse. I'm wondering, you know, how many acreage that we have within the city limits that would be buildable on. I'm sure you haven't done that study, but we know there. Of course, there's always the floodplain thing.
Right.
And you know, a lot of that, you know, so-called great view land is in a floodplain.
Right.
And no insurance. But now, with our systems now, I don't think we've had any fields flooded here in a long, long time.
In a while.
But that doesn't mean water doesn't seep up underground, does it?
That's true.
And, okay, now, what about the industrial project? Is that in or out of a floodplain? You don't know?
I'm not hardly sure. I don't think it is in a floodplain. I don't think so.
That would be great news.
Yeah,
and the thing about that is, you know, I know that we have some empty buildings here in the county, but kind of the thing that I've heard of, that most of those buildings that we have now are not what folks that are coming in with some type of industrial job, that they're now looking for buildings that have 20-foot ceilings and things like that. And most of ours are like 12 and 14-foot high.
That's what I've noticed a lot of.
Which is a hindrance. And, of course, then we look around, too, and we think, you know, if someone came in here with 300 jobs in one place, where would we find the population to fill those jobs?
Right.
Well, Tanya, I think it's time I announce the birthdays.
Okay.
Come back, and then how about we come back and talk a little bit about Donaldson Park?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Birthday anniversary list today. Pull my glasses off so I can see my list. Letitia Denton, celebrating a birthday. The mayor, Dale Reagan, is celebrating a birthday this week. And a couple of anniversaries here. Johnny and Vonda Gully, I believe, celebrating on the 29th, and Jackie and Susan Bray on the 30th. And they are not hardly newlyweds, but congratulations to both of them. And also, out in the Pine Hill area, Mr. Paul Brown celebrated his 90th birthday this past week. And also, Ms. McCoy York celebrated a birthday, and then another one of my students, and I'm not sure if her mom, Bernice Rush, is back home where she, I know she was a faithful listener, and she'd been having some health problems and living with her daughter, who's celebrating a birthday today, Miss Tammy Rush Hunter, and then also celebrating a birthday, Miss Donna Green, down in the Hermitage Springs area, and Jody Watson here in Salina, in this area, celebrating a birthday, and also the sheriff has a birthday this week, Mr. Brandon Boone. So we'd like to wish all those folks a happy birthday, and here in a little bit we'll use our highly sophisticated non-computerized selection system and choose a name, and they'll receive one of those gift certificates for a wonderful cake out at the Dairy Queen. And with that, we'll be back just in a minute.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy to use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, Tom is still here with me, and we were talking about water a minute ago, and that next is close to the water, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And that is something that has been talked about for, golly, ever since it was built, I guess, by the Corps of Engineers. You know, why isn't the city kind of in charge of Donelson Park? And at one time, now, give the Corps their reps on this, because for a number of years they did maintain it well, with the tennis courts, the lighting, keeping it up. But then, I don't know how many years ago, it's probably been about 20 years ago, that the Corps kind of backed off of here at the park here, when, and then all over the lakes and everything, where they did away with free camping and I guess trash pickup all up and down the lake and things like that. And kind of, I know the city of Salina had kind of taken over part of those duties, I guess, unofficially.
Right.
And but Tanya, looked like you finally managed the coup with the Corps, and it now is in charge of the city of Salina.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Tell us a little bit about that process.
Okay. Well, back when I was just an alderman, that had started then, and actually it took 2 years to get the lease and to get it signed. It took 2 years. Two-year process, very long time.
And we were waiting on...
Well, let's see, we had a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Waiting on a few select signatures.
Yes.
And of course, now this, one thing that we haven't brought up is the fact that you not only survived the COVID, but actually came out of it, like I said, with a pretty good survival rate with some of the things that did happen, this being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And officially, when did the city of Salina take over up there?
That was signed, I think, in November, and it's been such a long process, and everything has been slow, and I mean, nothing happens quick enough. personally and also, you know, with things like taking over the park. There's a lot of issues there and things that needs to be dealt with and just maintenance.
And, of course, the first thing that you hear is, well, you've took it over. What have you done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what have you done
well,
in your short period of time here?
Of course, first thing, you know, we've right when COVID, when that started, I had already had written a letter to a lady about, she was actually coming to Donaldson Park to look. She was a trail master. She's going to walk the trail and give us some input on, you know, how we could develop that, make it better,
right.
You know, some things we could do. But like everything else, when COVID came, it just sort of, you know, it just put a damper on everything, you know, far as that. So we had to put that off. And of course, we did get a grant for some playground equipment, and we didn't have the park lease signed yet, so we had to have that delivered and on our yard out here, and it stayed on the yard forever. And we finally got the lease signed, then we had to get it put in, and we had to remove, you know, had to do a lot of work, and we finally have that up. But it's been a very slow process with rain. Everybody's been busy, and you know, but it takes time, and it's coming along, and it will continue to come along.
Okay, now, I know the trail master thing, the trail down there is probably one of the hidden gems,
mm-hmm.
and I think it has been, it's received a little bit of publicity all over the state in various things, like not necessarily just only in Tennessee things,
mm-hmm.
some of that kind of thing, but that trail is a gem in disguise, isn't it?
It is. It's a very nice trail. I mean, it you know, you want to promote people to get out and exercise for their health, and you know, it helps your mental state as well to get out. And there's some very large trees down there. And
yes, I don't know. They're at least some of them may be second generation.
Yes, yeah.
Hardwood of mm-hmm. beech and some things like that down there.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, you know, you walk through that, and then there is a walk down by the Obi River,
mm-hmm.
and I think maybe one of the things was to provide a better view for the folks walking where they can actually see the river.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's either the full walk around through there, there's a boat ramp down there, big parking lot down
mm-hmm.
there. But you can, you know, also there's cut-throughs where you can basically walk in a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
And that trail is also being used by the archery club, isn't it?
It is.
And it's gained quite a bit of national notoriety as being one of the best of this, mm-hmm. 3D archery
mm-hmm.
that our Tuckasee folks are involved in. And we have gotten lots of great reviews
yes.
on the folks that were here for that. And I know I had Rhonda on here a few weeks ago, and she talked about that they had actually did like a little unofficial survey of the amount of money that those folks that came in for the last one, that the amount of money they spent here in Clay County over that weekend, it was a tremendous amount of money that they spent.
Yeah.
And, okay, now, something I know that folks don't really understand, and that is that playground up there, you know, it would be great if you could just put about 8 or 10 more different things in up
mm-hmm.
there and do all kinds of things, but it's not really possible, is it? But it's not impossible, but it's not real.
Right.
I think you're limited by the space of what is called the playground area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With what we have there now, there is probably a few areas that some smaller items could be added to what's there now. And to expand or anything like that, you know, we would have to go through the process of getting permission. Since, you know, the city does not own the property, it's still Corps of Engineer property.
And the Corps requires permission. I know. Do you want to tell them what's involved trying to dig a post hole in that?
We cannot dig below 5 inches.
Because?
Well, you're getting into disturbing. You have to go through the, what is it called? The.
I know the survey that they have to do for prehistoric sites.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And it just so happens that all those post holes they dug, whatever, how many years ago when they, that doesn't count anymore, does it? But I'm wondering, no. could you go back and dig a post hole back where they had the post holes?
Well, maybe. That's like the underground wiring. There's about five or six of those. I call them electrical.
Right.
Where you know, they're sort of in the edge of the woods. And I did ask the question, you know, if we want to try to get those active again, you know, could we replace the wiring? And I was told, well, if it's already there, to replace may not be as big of an issue. So that was sort of good.
And those would be used for?
Well, they could be used for, you know, if you had an event and you had someone who had, you know, their food trucks or whatever needed electricity or whatever, you know, and they could be used in that way. And possibly, you know, my thoughts were down on the lower end toward the river, that wooded area that they let sort of grow up, if that could be cleared out again and that could be made into some camping areas. And, you know, of course, that was one of my dreams,
yeah.
You know, to do something like that where, you know, because a lot of people, you know, you may be able to go camping, tent camping or whatever, but, you know, a lot of folks can't afford the big vacations, and they could do something close to home, and the kids could, you know, fish and, you know, home.
What about I guess maybe like a little fishing pier or something down at the boat ramp now? Is that something that would be possible to do, or have you even I'm sure you've thought about
one
that.
One of my thoughts when I first took the went into the mayor's position, we had a governor's conference. And that was in Linden, Tennessee. And one of the things they had at that facility was a boardwalk type next to their river. And I took several pictures of that because I could visualize that down there from the boat ramp over to the campground, which would be a beautiful walkway, and you know, and it would be really nice to have that. And what you would have, of course, would be your support post, and that gets back to the digging. So,
well, I'm wondering.
Sure.
You know, along that line, I know, would it be possible to, and I'm sure it probably would be somewhere or other, and that would be to have some commercial camping group that wanted to come in there and do a lease on that and develop that, or you develop it and then lease it to them, like at, not you, but the city, you know, kind of like they did up at, Del Hollow State Park up in Kentucky, because I think basically everything up there now is leased to private companies, and it's on core property, a lot of it.
Wow.
And I do know that we of course the boat docks are, of course, those are leases, because I know there's a limit on the you know, we can't have any more leases for boat docks and things like that on their property. And I'm wondering if I'm sure the rules are probably the same on that as they are on, of course, that's part of Cordell Hull Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look down there, there are some things like that that are on Cordell Hull Lake, aren't there?
Mm-hmm, there is.
So, you know, we give away all your ideas when you try to run for re-election. I just thought.
you know, there's a lot of what else, you know, but the main thing is, you know, to always try to move forward and try to...
And to help whoever one is doing.
Right. It is. You know, if it's in your heart and it's your passion, you know, just keep on.
Keep being involved and try to help. And improve what we have here.
Because
we have some great stuff here.
It
doesn't need tweaking a whole lot. And it definitely doesn't need changing into the place where a lot of folks came from to be here.
No. I've traveled across country, and, you know, when I pull back into home, I'm like, you know what? You know, why would you want to be anywhere else?
You come across the top of the hill and see the top of the old courthouse and look at all the hillsides.
Right.
Landscape, and then you see the river, and, and then when you get a chance, drive up to the lake, and you say, golly, we're going to take a little short break. We're going to come back, and then we're going to talk about maybe another project that's we got pretty much finalized. It may not come to fruition for a while,
mm-hmm.
and that is the sidewalks. And we talked a little bit about how that got started, and we don't want to talk about the project we lost, though, do we? Years ago. We'll be right back.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. I know Tanya and I here talking a little bit while we were off camera here, but I know the next thing we're going to talk about is a sidewalk grant, and I guess this thing may have actually started maybe about four or five years ago originally.
Yeah.
But you know, you kind of get into the thing, you know, where we see these big announcements all the time of some of our sister cities around here that get these $1 billion grants to do things with, but they usually fail to tell you that most all of those grants are on a 50-50 match, which knocks, you know, our little area out of basically just any major grant for, like, well, restoration of the courthouse here, or repaving projects, you know, redoing things, that they kind of knock us out of that. But the grant that I'm talking about started, like I said, quite a few years ago, and it was a low match grant. And Tony, tell us about the regulations that were involved, that grant was turned back, and then it changed gears and come back,
mm-hmm,
didn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that process that happened there.
What happened there is when I was alderman, we voted, you know, we had to borrow our match money. And
right.
We want to borrow the money. And what had happened is when it was realized that when the large bills came in for the construction, you know, you pay those out of our funds.
Right.
And then get reimbursed from the state. Well, what we realized at that point was that basically we couldn't afford it.
You could not afford to pay interest.
Pay and wait for that reimbursement.
Wait for the reimbursement from the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know most of the small grants we work with here, once we finish the grant, of course, they're not, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. That there's, I know the county has to pay, you know, well, like our windows here.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, when that bill comes due, the county will pay for it, and then they will submit for reimbursement.
Right.
And when that reimbursement comes in, they get their money.
Right.
And but this was, how big was this project again?
Well, it was like, I think about a $500,000 or something.
I believe that's
something.
What it was.
Yeah, but, you know, of course, when they start doing that concrete work, that's when your large bills come.
Yeah.
And, you know, we still have to be able to operate and do everything over there. But what we voted and let that go back, and a lot of people were upset over that. But that there was a reason for it, you know, a very good reason. But when I came in and I received a call from Mr. Mark Dudney, and he was
with the
development district, and he explained to me that the grant was coming up again, and he asked me about did we want to apply for it. I said yes. And the reason that we decided to apply for it again is that he had spoke with some people, and they were going to, they call it flip, like flip the grant, you know, where we wouldn't be responsible for that large payment, that it would come from, I think, from the state. And anyway, it wouldn't put a hardship on us. But then there were some changes in administration and so on and so forth. And then we hit another block there because the new people didn't know anything about that conversation, so to speak. So Mark went ahead and he talked with some people, and anyway, it came to the point where we decided that we would ask the state to take over the project. And then we would just be responsible in phases for our match.
So what we have now is the state is really what they're just swapping their money from account to account.
Yeah.
That kind of sounds like.
Yeah, they're going to be doing the project. They are match at each phase. But what I went ahead and done, we initially paid a couple of phases or matches for the first two phases. And then we got us going, got us on schedule. Now we had the money in place, no borrowing from the bank. We had the money, and I went ahead, and one of my last things, I went ahead and paid the full match on that grant.
So that grant is now covered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we said it's covered. Now what does it cover?
Well, of course, initially the sidewalks were going to start at like the intersection at Walgreens, come down
right.
And come all the way into town.
And a truck route has kind of...
Well, now they've moved it to College Avenue is where it's going to start.
Right.
And they're ADA compliant. And also it was going to start out on one side of the street. Now it's been moved to the other because of utilities.
Right.
Just things that factor in. And it's supposed to come down and go out and come down Green Street, because the sidewalk on Green Street there at the vacant lot, there's two step downs, and that's not ADA compliant. And but you know, when it started, and I mean, I'm excited about it.
Okay, now you know, we're talking about ADA compliant, and I know the sidewalks that we normally built around here were, most of them are about 3 foot wide.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And the ADA is now,
I think it's five.
5 foot wide, I believe.
Five,
and
yeah.
Are there any, do you say, does it cross the street? Is there a crosswalk involved?
Yes, there's the crosswalks. And you know, it visually will function, you know, safety.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who do walk up in that
Absolutely.
Area. And with the large vehicles coming in and out too, you know, it's a safety issue, and there's going to be crosswalks, and with that being said, that would tie in with like the Salina Walks project that was started when
right.
I also stepped in
right.
the position, and that is a long-term plan, and it's a very good plan.
I think there were a bunch of us
yes,
that were
and it may take several years to complete that, but if that could ever be completed, and along with you know, the revamp of downtown, you know, possible bump outs, you know, rearrange the parking a little bit, you know, could possibly gain some parking downtown. It's all part of a large puzzle.
And you know, one of the things you know that I guess one of the saviors for the city downtown Salina is that it does become a downtown walking area,
mm-hmm.
where folks don't have to, you know, that we have that, whatever it is, that municipal parking lot. I think our bank parking lot mm-hmm. has a sufficient amount of space, but it's not really easy to get to the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, you know, if we can divert all the log trucks and things like that coming through here, and let people know that there is a place, that this is a walking community, and there is a place within, what, 200 yards where you can walk around the city, where you park your car. And of course, another thing that's going to really, really help, I think, is the Cumberland scenic byway.
Yes.
And this is going to be one of the, it's either the head or the tail, either way you want to look at it. And I do know, of course, Mr. Mark Dunn is also involved in that. And part of his plan is, of course, for a welcome center here, which would more than likely be located either here in the courthouse or somewhere around the courthouse, which would help on our restoration project, and also some bathrooms here close by the here for folks that want to stop and walk through Salina. You know, that's something that it's important. If you want people to walk through town, you've got to have a place. You've got to have a relief station for them. And so I think that's part of, the, of those things. So, you know, things are looking good, and I know that the seeds that, that you have planted, hopefully they're going to grow up and sprout into some great big trees here before long.
I hope so.
But we... I know working with the city, I know, of course, this is county property here, and it right in the middle of the city, and there, with the designation of the historic site and those kind of things, it kind of limits the things that can be done. But, you know, this is one of our most important sites, and, you know, there are hundreds of people that drive by here every day that doesn't know that this is Cordell Hull's home courthouse. And when, once we get that information out, I think we're going to have history buffs, because this byway originally was called the Cumberland Historic Byway, because, like I said, we have Cordell Hull here. We have one of our governors that was educated here. We have the Sergeant York. We have the historic old community of Rugby on this thing, and just a whole bunch of historic sites between here and Cumberland Gap. So it's something that I know that I've been excited about for about 6 or 8 years, and it finally came about. And I do know that through the help of everyone, that hopefully this is going to be a quite a bit of a boon to the not just the tourists that drive through here, but the tourists that come here to come here. And there is a little difference there. And well, Tanya, hey, it's been great having you here today. I think if you will reach in there and just pull me out a number of some kind or other.
Okay.
And I'll... The winner today of our cake is, let me count down the line here, it's Donna Green.
All right.
Donna, or any of her friends that happen to be listening, in case she's not, tell her that she has won the birthday cake for today, and that she can come over to the chamber, and she can pick up that gift card for the Dairy Queen and take it over and get her one of those delicious ice cream cakes. And with that, I don't know, I guess we've... Have we missed anything you want to leave everyone with?
No.
I think
everything's good, but I would just like to say that I'm still going to be involved. And
You're still on the courthouse committee.
Yes, I'm on several committees still, and I plan to stay on. And I encourage people out there, you know, to be involved and try to step up and do some things. And if you have the time and can... It's really fulfilling, and it's well worth it.
And I know we've got to have a meeting here, Pullum, because we have picked up some Adopt-A-Window folks, and we need to talk about it and hopefully get me some help for the car show.
Well, count me in.
Well, with that, I guess we'll just shut the doors down here. We've got everything put basically back where it belongs, and it's been a pleasure coming to you here again on this Thursday morning, as we do each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on WVFB. And, you know, with that, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet you here on your radio dial again this next coming week. And with that, good day, Clay County.